Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Well, what's going on, everybody? Hey, truckers. Hey, this is Ed with Redneckinize, and this is all things trucking and then some. You know, we're live here on Blog Talk Radio at the Unplugged Radio Network every Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. That's 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. You know, we've got a couple of things going on. You know, there's a big gas shortage this week, and I talked a little bit about that last week. We heard about it, and we'll just, you know, have a few things to say about that. And then there was one of the bridges in Memphis closed down, and that was significant, caused a lot of headaches for everybody, and they wrote a few articles about it. And then, of course, you know, talking about insurance costs and all that stuff going up and everything. And I just had a little question. I think it was funny. How many restaurants across the country would go out of business if everybody just started eating just the calories that they need instead of the constant overeating we see out there, you know, especially on the road? But just, you know, the whole America in general, we probably eat way too much than we need to. And it's just, you know, it's funny to me to think about that if people only ate what they needed, you know, how much would they not eat, and how many restaurants and grocery stores would, you know, see as a drop? You know, the economy would almost tank, you think. But you know, we talk about that, and we'll take all your calls. And if you got anything going on, like I said, give us a holler. You can check us out, redneckinize.com. Make sure you go over there and check out our YouTube channel too. And one of the big shout outs I'll give it to is one of our great sponsors that's been with us from the get-go. It's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out, dpfregeneration.com, or give them a call at 1-800-634-3010. You know, they've got all the diesel filters and all the technology and know-how, years of experience working on big truck engines and everything. They got all size diesel filters, SCR units, EGR coolers, catalyst mufflers, everything. Like I said, they're a big supporter of Redneckinize, and we support them. And you should always support the companies like DPF that support truck drivers like this. So give them a shout. Like I said, 800-634-3010, dpfregeneration.com. And we're going to get to all that in the jiffy, and we hope everybody's having a great night. So like I said, call in 516-387-1733, and we can't wait to hear from you. All right, now, we'll see you in a bit.
It was just an old aluminum boat, mostly JB Weld, but it still floats. Take a ride down the river every Saturday. Never had the best when I was a kid, but looking back now, thanks sure did. And if I could go back, I wouldn't change a thing. 'Cause we had it made. Take me back to the good old days. Life was simple, unlike today. If I could go back, here's what I'd say. You don't realize that you got it made. Start and a monthly note. Cruising down the river, it's not quite the same. We never had the best when I was a kid, but looking back now, we dang sure did. And if I could go back, I wouldn't change a thing. 'Cause we had it made. Take me back to the good old days. Life was simple, unlike today. If I could go back, here's what I'd say. You don't realize that you got it late. pay.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hold tight with a leather fist. Watch out when he starts to twist. What the daddies used to tell them boys, how to ride them bulls. I got a jingle in my jeans, sore places in between, and I'm leaving old Salt Lake with a push and a pull. Tenfold buddy, come on back, a horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville. Chugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Turn up that radio, don't want to think about a rodeo. Don't want to think about a roundup up in old Cheyenne. Well, it's a crazy circuit, oh, but still you work it. Turn down that sound, boys, let's get up and check the scan. 10-4, buddy, come on back, a horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville. Chugga-lugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. On the mirror, still wet from ear to ear. Well, I guess it's true then what the wise men say. When you ride your last one, well, make sure he's the best one. Jump while he's moving, tip your hat, boys, and walk away. 10-4, buddy, come on back, a horse trailer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville. Chugga-lugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. 10-4, buddy, come on back, a horse trainer on a Cadillac. Yeah, we're talking to the cowboy in the Coupe de Ville. Chugga-lugging up one side, sliding down the other. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill. Well, I'm a lover of the other side of the hill.
Try B45 at Cardi's Furniture and Mattresses. Cardi's now has...
Okay, all right, good deal. We're back now. I was just catching up on some articles here that I was getting by through, but yeah, we're getting back. I was going to dip into one thing that I checked in here a little bit, and I was waiting on some other people to call in, but they're not here yet, but I'll go ahead and get started on it. And, you know, it was bugging the hell out of me that I kept seeing it over and over again. And then when you do a Google search, it's like number three. And what it is pet adoptions. So if you go in and Google or research like adopting animals, pets, whether it be dogs or cats, what the articles will come up and tell you is that during the pandemic, during the shutdowns, and everybody was kind of, you know, not doing anything. They weren't working. They weren't going to school. They weren't able to go anywhere like on vacation or anything. So pet adoptions just went through the roof. They were adopting dogs and cats, and the shelters were basically running out. They didn't have any to, you know, which I always thought was a good thing. I thought that's what that was the goal, is what we were trying to do was eliminate the need for the shelter kind of thing. It's kind of like homelessness. If you can, you know, stop homelessness and everything, then you wouldn't need that stuff. Well, I thought that was the case, but it seemed to me that it's always a reoccurring thing. It's like a revolving door, because what happened was, is that now that the pandemic is over, the adopted pets are being returned like at a record level. So people went out and they adopted dogs or cats through the pandemic, you know, to fill that void or whatever it was they were doing. And then now that they're back to work or back going on vacation and they don't want to leave an animal by themselves at a house or whatever, they're turning them back in. They're just saying, you know, we can do this. You know, we need you to take it back over. And I always thought that was like very surprising to me, but I guess, you know what? Not surprising at all. This was out of the NBC Channel 10 in Boston. It was on May 13th that this article got published. And it says animals adopted during pandemic are being returned to shelters. It says animals are in need of forever homes as more and more people who adopted pets during the coronavirus pandemic are bringing them back to shelters when they head back to the office. It says, as COVID-19 restrictions are lifted across the country, there's a disturbing trend emerging for our four-legged friends. The pandemic pet adoption boom seems to be bursting as more and more people are sending their animals back to the shelter as they head back to the office. And then, of course, they've got a little story here. I think there's like an article here. And the ad was going, so I kind of cut the volume for that. Yeah, here we go.
Lifted across the country, we have seen a disturbing trend. The pandemic pet adoption boom that started about a year ago seems to be bursting. People are sending their animals back to the shelter as they go back to the office. NBC 10's Captain Underwood reports.
This is Diesel, meeting new friends and even kayaking with his foster mom.
He's an amazing dog. He loves people.
After being surrendered to Live Free Animal Rescue.
Yeah, because the family had to return him back to work. They felt like they just couldn't give him the life that he deserved.
Like Diesel and so many others.
Yeah.
Bella here was also adopted during the pandemic.
Yeah.
But she was recently returned after her new family went back to the office.
The dog influx of coming in is absolutely insane. I'd say within the last month, we got about 5 to 10 owner surrenders due to this issue.
Nationwide, owner surrenders are up more than 80% from this time last year, according to Best Friends Animal Society. The New Hampshire SPCA is bracing for this disturbing trend to hit home as COVID restrictions ease locally. The executive director says it's already begun.
There will be people who will be very saddened by the new reality, too. I'm spread so thin again, financially, time-wise. I just can't give the pet the attention it needs, and that was how our first one came back.
As difficult as it is on family,
it's a hard conversation to have, and it's hard to admit.
It's not any easier for the animal, now back where they started before the pandemic.
The good news is the animals that are surrendered will again be adopted to find their new forever home.
Now, it's important to note that abandoning an animal, even if it's on the front steps of a shelter, is illegal in New Hampshire. So be sure to call your local rescue and surrender the right way, no matter how hard that might be. Reporting in Stratham, New Hampshire, Catherine Underwood, NBC 10 Boston.
And there you go. Let's see. Don't need to get that. But yeah, you know, that right there, that's one of those things where it should be a big responsibility for everybody that when you think about having an animal, of course, you know, when I was young, you know, you think you can maintain the responsibility, but then you can't. So you need to, you know, find out a way to take care of that or somehow. And I think that, you know, the more and more we learn, the more and more we say, hey, you know, don't need to be doing this. You know, this is, if I know, you know, that I'm not going to be in it for the long run, then I shouldn't be doing it at all. And we should always be on the lookout for, you know, problems like that. You see circumstances where people get into circumstances where they have to move and the place they're going to, they can't allow animals or anything, or they're going somewhere where it's not going to be like a bigger yard. They're getting that reduction in size of the yard and all that stuff. So there's a bunch of deals going on with that. And I just thought that was, you know, they said more than 80% nationwide, according to a couple of the organizations. And that's just crazy. I didn't realize that, you know, that had been a big deal like that about them and everything. So that was just something I was throwing out there. If you got anything to say about it, you know, like I said, give me a holler, 516-387-1733. And then just be part of the conversation, just hit one. And like I said, check out our website and everything. That this is kind of stuff we talk about, kind of getting through there and everything. We have a YouTube channel that we're checking out and getting everything done. And we also have great sponsors. And we're trying to get back to the truck shows. Of course, we're looking at probably getting back around the next year, around 2022 is everything's going to get back to normal. A lot of the states still have not reduced their COVID restrictions as far as having like gatherings or functions or whatever. So it's kind of, everything's kind of being, you know, looked at in that regards. So we'll do all that when we can. One of the bigger sponsors that we had join us here this last year, and we were all excited about, was Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You can check them out at truckertools.com, or you just go to the app stores and download their app, check them out. They're just an all-in-one app where you can go and check them out and get, like, you know, map service, or find a shop, find a truck stop, find a Walmart. You can do load tracking. You can book freight, you know, all that stuff. There's tons and tons of different carriers, different brokers, or even different shippers on there looking at everything. And it's just amazing to me how fast they've grown in such a short amount of time. And like I said, they're always in there updating the app, making it better. So if you got, you know, if you use the app or get in there and use it and you find out there's a little something maybe that you thought could be better, you can let them know and they can always look at it and they're always trying to make the app better, which is awesome. So you can check them out, truckertools.com. Like I said, go download their app, let them know. And when you give them a review, just let them know that you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Eyes, because we appreciate that and we appreciate them supporting us. And we look forward to working with them more in the future. So, like I said, just get on with it, and we're going to just keep going here. Like I said, give us a holler, 516-387-1733. We'll be back in a second.
Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best there's ever been." "Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul." Up his case and he said, "I'll start this show," and fire flew from his fingertips as he rosined up his bow, and he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hiss, and then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. devil finished, Johnny said, well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, does your dog bite? No child, no. The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best there's ever been. He played, found him out, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. The chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granny, where you don't fight, no child, no.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
Justice was served on a road. When evil was done, that was all that she wrote. But somewhere somebody decided that wasn't right. Now the bad guys run free in the streets, while the good guys pay the price. They say people don't kill people, guns and rebel flags do. You can't speak of Jesus, how dare he ever speak the truth. Till the day that I die. These days, it's hard to find a line between right and wrong. With the past erased and rewritten, we don't understand where we came from. We'll be doomed to repeat those mistakes unless we tell that story right. There's no way around the truth, no matter how hard you try. They say people don't kill people, but guns and rebel flags do. And you can't speak of Jesus, 'cause how dare we ever speak the truth. Southern red, white, and blue, till the day that I die. day that I die. Justice was served on a roll.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandi's.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I's.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's, and you're listening to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. We talk about, you know, just life on the road and what's going on out there and just how things are going. And, of course, you know, this time of year, the weather changes, and we get a lot of severe weather down here in South Texas where I'm at. We got a lot of severe weather this last weekend, a lot of flash flood warnings, a few tornado watches and tornado warnings. So we're just keeping an eye on that and just trying to make sure everybody stays safe and stay successful out there. But, you know, there's a lot of big things happening this last week. We talked about a little bit last week where the pipeline got shut down, going from Houston up into the New England area. And, you know, now that it's all back up and running, we kind of look at, you know, hey, what happened and why did it do that? And, of course, you know, how can we prevent it and all that? And the funny thing is that pipeline is like new. It's like they didn't, it's not as old as most pipelines because of the fact that it has the advanced technology all linked up to it. And of course, this is one of the things a lot of people warn against, is that when you have advanced technology running the stuff that, you know, was running for a long time before that, that it's susceptible to, you know, getting hacked or getting overthrown, you know, remotely, because it has all that technology hooked to it where it's all controlled by computers. So that's what they're reporting in the news. Whether we believe that or not, we don't know. Come to find out, what happened was is that the federal government did not get involved in it. The company that owns that pipeline paid the, they call it ransomware, with the people, the hackers. They said, you know, if you can't get rid of it unless you give us money, and then we'll give you the key or the code to get rid of it. So that all got done and everything. And I just thought that was really, really weird. I'm sure that there'll be investigations, you know, with the government, like I said, FBI or Homeland Security or whatever. There's no way around that. You got to look at that kind of stuff. But what it did, I mean, it didn't really cause that big of a few of the gas stations along that corridor where it was from. Mostly it was like in the Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina, that area, parts of Tennessee, parts of Mississippi and Alabama, those kind of areas there where the pipeline flowed through. Because what it did was, like I said before, it wasn't a shortage of the actual gasoline or diesel fuel itself. It was the way to get it to where it needed to go. A lot of these gas trucks out there, the tanker trucks that haul from to the gas stations, they're coming from a distribution center point where the pipeline flows through that distribution center. And there's, you know, that's where it's coming from. It's coming from a refinery straight to that distribution center. And then the trucks go to the distribution center, pick it up, the you know, transfer point, and take it to the gas stations. And what happened was, is then what you had to do is, in order to get the gas to the gas stations, they had to come directly from the refinery or from a longer path. You know, it took longer. And a lot of the government officials even were commenting that, you know, yeah, we don't like pipelines, we don't like, you know, the oil and gas industry, but the best, safest, cheapest, best way to get gasoline and diesel fuel to the gas stations is try to put it on the pipeline as much as possible, because the train can't keep up and there's not enough trucks out there on the road to keep up with the demand for the long haul. And that was the big thing. Like I said last week, there's not a lot, you don't see a lot of sleeper trucks pulling those tankers. You know, you see them, it's just, you don't see them that much, because they're those tankers, they're hauling different stuff. They're not hauling daily gas deliveries to the gas stations. You know, when you see a truck pull into the gas stations to fill the tanks, they're those are day caps. So those guys are going, you know, from a short distance away. So think about that when you see a truck that gets, or if you see a gas station, just think about they're less than a day's ride, either there and back. So you're thinking about probably 300 miles or less that they're from a point where that gas station can get a delivery of gas from wherever it's coming from. So that's just something to think about. But like I said, it's all back up and running. I think it got back up to running like Thursday, like full capacity. And, you know, people were being silly with hoarding the gas, putting it in plastic containers like storage bins, or even people were putting it in bags. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, well, we know those ain't truckers, because truckers know that when you need a storage container, you need a good storage container. You know, we've had stuff spill in the trucks, you know, and we didn't even think it would ever spill. And it's like, yep, that spilled, you know, whether it be a liquid detergent or some kind of like even a container we buy that's supposed to hold oil, you know, and all that. It's not leak proof. You know, it's always something going on with leaking when you're transporting something. So truck drivers, we know that, you know, that something's going to slosh, something's going to spill. You know, I remember the biggest thing, whenever I think of stuff spilling, I remember when those detergent pods first came out. That's like a trucker's dream right there, those detergent little pods. Because remember, we used to keep liquid soap. Even some truck drivers would keep the powder detergent, laundry detergent, in the box. And, of course, there's no way to seal that. Once you open it, it's open. It can't be resealed. Even small boxes, you know, if you had one that had like 10 or 15 loads in the little box, it's like that's useless. You know, when they started making the single load ones that you could buy, they were a little more expensive, but at least you knew that once you opened it, you used it, you're done. You didn't have to worry about it spilling anywhere. But then when they came out with those pods where a trucker could keep a little plastic bin, or, you know, they come in those plastic containers and the little pods, and you didn't have to worry about them getting smushed. I mean, I'm sure that there are stories out there of drivers having those little pods get smushed and end up in a cabinet somewhere all nasty. But that was a great thing that truck drivers had, was a way to keep detergent from spilling and getting everywhere. Cause there's always something like that, whether it be Windex or, you know, that's why you see truck drivers, we keep the window cleaner in like a spray bottle, like an aerosol can. Cause even those little pump action Windex bottles, they're not reliable transporting them up and down the road. It's just not reliable. They bang up against each other. They stop working. It doesn't tighten up, all that kind of stuff. So when I see people putting gasoline in a trash bag or a plastic tote or something, you just know, you know, ain't nobody trucking in that, you know, and their friends and family. Nobody told them about that kind of stuff. And I'm sure that truck drivers are out there telling everybody that. And I just thought it was funny to talk about that a little bit. But like I said, the pipeline is back up and going again, and it's full speed. Hopefully we won't have that problem ever again. But again, you never know. But I guess truck drivers, we'll always deal with it. You know, I didn't hear any stories about truck drivers with their big trucks running out of fuel. I didn't hear any stories about that. You heard stories where people weren't able to get gas, but I didn't hear any stories about people running out of gas. Like, I don't know, maybe it happens so often nobody cares, or, you know, it's just, if you knew that you weren't, you know, people are, I guess, smarter, you know, than you think they are. But if you know you're going to run out of gas, or you're not going to have that much gas, it's like, I can't drive this 100 miles because I only got so much gas, you know. Or don't take the trip on Wednesday until you know you can get gas on Thursday or Friday. You know, it's like, just wait, you know. But you never know. That kind of stuff, it's out there. You never know what people are doing and everything. I heard people talking about how they were, when they left the house out of Nashville, they filled up, everything was fine. And then they went like up into Kentucky. And then, of course, their spouse or significant other called them on the phone and said, get gas before you get back here, because none of the gas stations around town have gas. So they were like, you know, saying, okay, now I got to get gas before I get there. I got to get gas, you know, en route instead of waiting until I get back. And a lot of times you think about that. Oh, I'll just wait till I get there. And, you know, the gas station might be closed. Well, now we know that certain places run out faster because of the populated areas. So that kind of stuff, just, you know, things we think about as truck drivers, putting silly stuff in bad storage containers, or, or just making sure you top off now instead of topping off later, you know, that kind of stuff. Just everybody out there did that this past week, worried about gas shortages, and truck drivers like, welcome to my world. So, but yet you can check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Call us in every Sunday night. We're live here at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 516-387-1733. Don't forget to go over to our YouTube channel, and you can click on there, check out the videos. Please subscribe if you haven't already, and you can share, view, like, comment, all that good stuff on YouTube. We really appreciate that. That's been a great success for us. And then, like I said, just check us out. One of the great sponsors that we got that joined us this last year that we're really excited about is Load to Ride Transportation. And that's a little it's not that small. It's a nice size, medium-sized trucking company based out of Denver, Colorado. And, you know, they got cool trucks, cool logo. They've been updating their equipment here in the last couple of years. Everything's pretty much updated. They got the newer trucks with the newer technology. They got connections to all of the big carriers and big transport points where they deal with, you know, long-term storage or hauling hazardous material with the supply chains and all that kind of good stuff. They even deal with certain shippers and carriers, other carriers, to have, you know, specialized handling of freight and, of course, hazmat and temperature control, warehousing, expedited, all that good stuff. So if you're looking for a carrier, maybe you've been shopping around a little bit, you can check them out at ltrtransportation.com, or you give them a call at 720-277-0030. And like I said, just let them know that you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I, because we appreciate them supporting us as well. And so check that out, and we appreciate them. And like I said, we're going to be here for a while, and give us a holler, and we'll be right back.
America's fixing to fall. But speaking just for me and some people from Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. This lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. And if the Russians don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We're gonna put her feet back on the path of righteousness, and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen. In America's future, you never did think that we'd ever get together again. We're damn sure too, you were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would have happened again. From the sound up in Long Island, out to San Francisco Bay, and everything that's in between them is our home. And we may have done a little bit of fighting amongst ourselves, but you outside people best leave us alone. Cause we'll all stick together, and you can take that to the bank. That's the cowboys and the hippies and the rebels and the Yanks. You just go and lay your hand on the Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I think you're gonna finally understand. And you never did think that it ever would have happened again. In America, did you? You never did think that we'd ever get together again. Damn sure, you were walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. In America, you never did think that it ever would have happened again.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head. There's rich folks eating from a fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep a moving, and that's what tortures me. From this prison, if that railroad train was mine, I bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away.
Everybody, hey, welcome back. Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes. You're listening to Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. You know, we are live here every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, just taking your calls and talking about what's going on out there in the world of truck driving. And, you know, just kicking back and seeing what we can get ourselves into. You can check us out, redneckandeyes.com. We always got, information and videos that we share out there with everybody. And just, you know, we're trying to get out there to the truck shows. You know, this pandemic really set us back with that. We were ready. I mean, we were like really expanding and growing and becoming more and more popular. And we got into going out to setting up in the parking lot. And we were just excited about 2020. And, of course, the pandemic hit and everything got canceled. So we're on hold with that right now. And we're going to hopefully pick up right where we left off in 2022. So if you can just stick with us until that time, and then we'll be ready to go and hopefully have much more popularity, much more sponsorship, all kind of good stuff. We can have a great time out there in the Cardinal Stadium parking lot out there. We set up, we have food, heat, entertainment, just a good old, trucker kind of get together, great place to mingle and hang out with drivers and talk and make new friends and all that kind of good stuff. And it's really great. And we really look forward to doing that again once everything gets going. So we were talking about, the gas little shortage, the pipeline getting shut down and all that kind of stuff. And of course, I was also talking about there was an article about pet adoptions, how they rose significantly this last year in 2020 because of this, of the pandemic shutdown and everything. But now they're like getting returned in record number. They say that nationwide pets that got adopted are getting returned 80%, is up 80 than normal. And I thought that was a big deal. And we got that article. We'll get more information about that as it comes along. But the other thing that happened, and it really hurt trucking the most because we use the highways so much more than anybody else thinks we do. But one of the bridges in Memphis is closed. And what happened was there was a crack in the structure that they don't know, you know, what happened or whatever. I guess they do. But they shut it down, and they said it could be closed for almost 2 months. They say at least 6 weeks, could be more. I'm thinking it might be 3 months is what I think. You just never know. But it is a big deal. And I remember, and of course I have no proof that I did this, but I did. And if you don't believe me, fine. But about 5 or 6 years ago, back when, you know, we were told by OIDA to contact your politicians and your congressmen and your senators and everything about voting for, you know, either road funding or trucking issues or whatever, one of the things I included was the need for, of course, we all think infrastructure is a big deal, but really we need more bridges. And most importantly, we need bridges in the southern part of the United States. And I kind of sat there, and of course, it was just while I was going down the road, I was thinking about this, and I got all the details kind of in my head, and I went back to the map and looked at it. If you think like Memphis and north of Memphis, there are a lot of crossings, a lot. Now, I'm thinking of just in terms of like interstate, like how many times, how many different places can you cross the Mississippi in St. Louis? How many different spots? I mean, there's two spots up in Davenport. I mean, that's two. Memphis only has two. How can Memphis only have two and Davenport, Iowa has two? I thought Memphis was bigger, and I know it's traveled more. I know more trucks go through the Memphis area because Memphis is kind of a corridor between, you know, Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, and Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio. I mean, it's like everything goes through that way. I mean, it got to the point where Memphis was such a bottleneck that if you were in Texas and you were going to Indiana, especially, but Illinois, Indiana, even Ohio, if you were running through up to Ohio, you were thinking, oh, you know, I just go up 40 and go to Nashville and cut up that way. You know what? It probably would have been easier and less stressful if you cut up and then take that 155 into Kentucky. We did that a lot. I did that a lot because there was less traffic and you didn't go through that many big cities. And you got up into Kentucky faster and crossed in that way. And like I said, it was nice and, you know, it's less traffic, smooth, you know. And, of course, the congestion in Memphis, a lot of times you heard on the CB in Little Rock, you would hear on the CB about how messed up Memphis was. And there was a big accident and everything was shut down. And I don't know about anybody y'all, but when I drove up there, if I was going east and going into Memphis, and if I heard in Little Rock that things were messed up, by the time I got to Memphis, it was still messed up. You know, so we know that it's a big bottleneck. And then I was looking at the articles where they're talking about how everything was going up there. And this bridge that's cracked and broke down, it's only 48 years old. The bridge that everybody's having to use, that the Interstate 55 bridge, it's 78 years old. No, 72 years old. So it's older, and it's the one that everybody has to go on to. The other one is the one that's broke. It's only 48 years old. But again, there's only two bridges in Memphis. Why is that? That's crazy. There should be at least three, if not four, you know, and you're talking about bottlenecks. I mean, not even that it's a bridge. Okay, anybody out there that's living out there in the United States that's never been in trucking before, and maybe that you're in truck driving and you've never been through Memphis before, it's the worst. It's basically as soon as you cross from West Memphis, Arkansas, in Interstate 35 or Interstate 55 is the worst one. So if you're in West Memphis, Arkansas, and you cross Interstate 55, like you're going to go through the southern side of Memphis, and that's going to take you going like 55 south and or you're going to go across and catch, 78 going into Alabama. If you go that way, you have to, there's only one exit. And it's, and as soon as you cross the bridge, you have to exit to stay on 55. And I think it's only one lane. At one point, it was only one. Maybe it's only two lanes. But again, it's an exit, so you don't, so you can't do but maybe 35. You can't do 40. You got to do less than 40 going across that exit. Of course, that slows everybody down. Everybody doing 55, 60 across the bridge, and then you got to slow down and take that exit. Going back the other way, so if you're in, let's say, Mississippi or Alabama, coming up from Louisiana that way, and you're on 55 north, and you want to stay on 55 north and go 55 north to Chicago, then you go into Memphis, you veer off into to the west side of Memphis, up by the to the industrial area where it's, you know, between the interstate and the river, and you go up in there, and if you want to stay on 55 north, then you have to exit. Now, it is a two-lane exit, but it is it's a cloverleaf, it's a turnaround. So you go under the bridge, which is a low bridge, by the way. It's only like 13.8. So you can't have, you know, a taller truck go through. You got to be 13.6. You go under the bridge and then you turn to the right real slow. And then, like I said, it's two lane. And a lot of times truck drivers, you know, when you're making that hard curve like that, there's not a lot of room. So a lot of them, they either take up space or they stay back and they don't want to get in the other driver's way. And then when you come up, then you got to yield to traffic to continue on across the bridge to go over the bridge. And it's a bottleneck. It's crazy. So it's not only that you're on an interstate and you got to cross a bridge, it's that you have to exit to cross a bridge. Now 40, which is the bridge that's closed, it's not that bad. You do have to exit, but it's a two or three lane exit off to the left that continues 40 and goes around to the north side of Memphis. That was always the easiest one. I think it is a two-lane exit if you are going like 40 westbound. But again, it's still an exit where the highway is going into downtown Memphis. But in order for you to stay on 40, you have to exit and you have to get off the highway and to continue on. And like, again, yeah, that's another bottleneck. If it was busy, like during rush hour and all that, it was always backed up. And it just threw you off. Once you got to West Memphis, it was more wide open. A lot more lanes. Of course, you had the way stations, which, you know, I mean, that's probably the best thing is they have to close the way station now. So, you know, but those were always the way stations there in Arkansas that were checking everybody. But it's crazy. But I'll tell you this. I just thought when I wrote the congressman, I told him we need more bridges on the southern side, like Memphis and south. You know, you only got Interstate 10 and Interstate 20, and then that's it. There's no other major interstate that crosses Mississippi River until you get to Memphis. And of course, there are little side roads, but a lot of them are not for trucks, and some of them are. They're only one lane going across. I think I took one over there in southern Arkansas to go over to Mississippi, and like I said, it's only one lane. You know, it's a two-lane road going across, so it's only one lane over, one lane back. Of course, it's not that busy, but still, when you're thinking about trying to divert traffic, everybody's bottlenecked, you know, and all that. Now, once you get north of Memphis, now, what, you know, you talked about Interstate 155, which goes from Interstate 55, crosses there into southern part of, or to Tennessee, and then curves up and goes into Kentucky, and that puts you on those Kentucky turnpike stuff. So that kind of deal, it was crazy. I always thought that whether you needed another interstate, you still need another bridge. You know, when you talk about terrorist attack, I always thought the easiest thing if the terrorists wanted to really screw with us, all they needed to do was strategically blow up a bunch of bridges across the Mississippi, and you would pretty much cut the country in half, because there's no way that you can get from one side of the country to the other without crossing Mississippi. You know, that's all there is to it, you know. And you think about the bridges like I said, in Iowa and in Nebraska, you know, I was thinking about those bridges, and it's not only that they're bridges and they're probably newer and they've been updated. Of course, they get a lot of colder weather and everything, But the other thing was, is that they, it's not like a bottleneck that you don't have to exit to stay on it doesn't confine you. Going across the bridge doesn't hurt you. It doesn't, you know, you're doing, sometimes you don't even realize that you're already on the bridge because it's a major interstate. But the ones in Memphis, it's different. You have to exit in order to stay on the highway to continue on the bridge. Like I said, on the 55, that's even worse. It's even worse. It's never, you know, of course you don't go that way unless you're planning on going south or going toward Alabama or going toward Mississippi. The other way going like toward the East Coast, you're always going that way, going 40, which is around the north side, which that's the one that's closed. So that one there, I haven't been up there in a while, but I can just imagine the bottleneck that everybody's having to do to get across the other bridge, the southern bridge, which is the Interstate 55 bridge. That one there is, like I said, it's the hardest one to cross, and now you got more traffic crossing it because the other bridge is closed. So it's something else. But CDL Life got a pretty good article. They had a couple articles, but they follow the tweets. The city of Memphis put out a map on their Twitter page where they're talking about planning ahead. And, of course, all they're doing is pointing out which bridge is closed and which bridge is open. It says here are some alternate ways to get around town while the I-40 bridge is closed. And basically what they're talking about is if you're downtown, you know, and I mean, that's one thing. Just imagine how much more crap you got to go through just going through the city, going from, you know, one side of the city to the other, being that you're truck driving or commuting or traveling or, you know, tourism. I mean, think about all the tourism. Think about all that. Think about people that are like, you know, driving across the country and they just want to get on the other side of the river. And you can't even do that now without some heavy traffic. I bet you that traffic will be bad. I wouldn't even try to go through there unless it was 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, because I bet you it's going to be bumper to bumper. And I've already talked to a couple of dispatchers. They say it's been a pain in the ass. Everything got pushed back. Everything's got changed around where things got delayed big time. So that's a big deal. But yeah, I mean, like I said, if you're going through Memphis, just know, I mean, you probably already know by now, it made CNN, it made everybody. So that kind of thing, you know, just don't really know what's going to happen. But we'll try to keep you updated. We'll try to think, you know, we're just a bunch of truckers. We talk and we check things out and see how things are going. So yeah, that bridge is probably going to close to at least it says at least 6 weeks, but I'm thinking 2 to 3 months is what I'm thinking. So, check us out. redneckandeyes.com. Give us a holler, 516-387-1733. And let us know what you think. And also, like I said, go check out our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. You subscribe, comment, share, like, all that good stuff. We appreciate everybody doing that. Check us out in there and doing that. We've just gotten some great sponsors. One of the sponsors, like I said, that's helped us out big time from the get-go is DPF Regeneration. DPF Regeneration has got like this just gobs and gobs of experience when it comes to diesel engines. And then they got into the particulate filters and all of the SCR technology and all that. They have all the sizes for all the different motors, the filters, the SCR units, the EGR coolers, catalyst mufflers. I heard they were even talking about getting into like charge air coolers and turbos and where they can, they're not necessarily manufacturing them. What they're doing is they're just having them in their inventory. That way they can be your go-to for all that, for all those parts and that technology. And of course they have the expertise to tell you all about it. So if you're trying to learn more about the system or if you got questions, you can give them a holler. That's at 800-634-3010, or you can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. And of course, help you out and let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and Ice, and we appreciate them too. So stick around here for us and we'll be back in a second. All right, now we'll see you in a bit.
You see it at the truck shows out there on the open road, even in the driveway at his house. Johnny keeps it spit shining on it all the time. He wants it looking good when he goes out.
Why do people laugh at him and shake their head when he pulls in the parking lot? He's just another trucker man, trying his best to fit right in, but fit or not. He drives a old purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. 'Cause that old purple Peterbilt looks so good, it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Yeah. Now he could have a green one, although he's never seen one that looks as good as what he's got right now. Black might look more manly, or red like Christmas candy might help his clearance lights and chrome stand out. Then maybe that would be enough to end the jokes about his truck from all his friends. But he'll live with the teasing, 'cause he ain't out for pleasing no one but him. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. 'Cause that old purple Peterbilt looks so good, it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a old purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. You know, there's a lot of truck drivers out there on the road, and just like Johnny, a purple truck is their second home. And they'll be the first to tell you, son, you better leave old Johnny alone. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. 'Cause that royal purple Peterbilt looks so good, it makes him feel so proud of it. Some drivers call him sissy man, but he don't let it get to him, he'll shout it. He drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Yeah, he drives a royal purple Peterbilt, and he don't care how people feel about it. Drive a purple truck like that. Hey, don't make fun of that purple truck. Just look at them lime green ones. I wouldn't make fun of that banana looking yellow truck over there. But what about that baby blue with the rust on the bumper thing, right? You know, that thing.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010, or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Hey there, y'all. The truckers at Redneck and Eyes want to invite you to check out their live podcast, Redneck and Eyes, All Things Trucking and Then Some, every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Just call 516-387-1733 and join the conversation. When everything goes wrong, you got a Redneck and Eyes.
Beside me talking on his cell phone. I did something wrong. He flipped me the bird, and then he was gone. Some beach, somewhere, there's a big umbrella casting shade over an empty chair. Palm trees are growing and warm breezes blowing. I picture myself right there on some beach somewhere. I circled the parking lot trying to find a spot just big enough I could park my old truck. A man with a big cigar was getting into his car. I stopped and I waited for him to back up. But from out of nowhere a Mercedes-Benz came cruising up and whipped right in. Some beach somewhere, nowhere to go and you got all day to get there. There's cold margaritas and hot senoritas smiling with long dark hair on some beach somewhere. Well, I sat in that waiting room, it seemed like all afternoon. The nurse finally said, "Doc's ready for you. You're not gonna feel a thing. We'll give you some Novocaine. That tooth will be fine in a minute or two." Then he stuck that needle down deep in my gum, and he started drilling before I was numb. Some beach somewhere, there's a beautiful sunset burning up the atmosphere. There's music and dancing and lovers romancing the salty evening air on some beach somewhere.
All right, all right. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes. You're listening to Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. You know, we're live here every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733, and you can listen along or be part of the conversation. You can just hit one. We are sit back here talking about just things happening in the world, things happening on the road, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you know, all that good stuff. So, we got a website. You can check us out, redneckandeyes.com. You can check out the links to our sponsors on there and also our videos that we have to YouTube. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate it. You can view, watch the videos, subscribe. I said that already. And, of course, you can comment, share, like, all that good stuff, too. We appreciate everything you're doing out there for us and all that good stuff. And like I said, we hope to get back to the truck shows this time, probably about this time next year or back in March next year. All the shows pretty much got canceled. We found out that a lot of the states still hasn't released their like restriction policies on having like get togethers and, you know, functions and stuff like that. So we kind of just, you know, to keep it simple and to not give anybody any heartache or cost anybody extra money, that everybody just kind of canceled it till next year. So we kind of did that and everything. So there was a, like I said, we talked about, you know, we had a gas shortage because the pipeline shut down. There's a bridge shut down in Memphis because there's a crack in the foundation there on the bridge in the structure. So they got it shut down, might be shut down for a couple of months, hopefully sooner, but I'm guessing, you know, 2 to 3 months. And that's going to cause a problem out there on the road. And you know, not to mention, we got just things going on. We got a lot of unemployment benefits getting paid. So a lot of drivers, driver pay is going up so that because they need drivers, they need trucks out there. And of course, if you're a good driver, reliable, and you have a good record, and you have, you know, good references, and you have the all the things check out, like hazmat or experience pulling different type of stuff, whether it be tanker or flatbed or heavy haul, stuff like that, respiratory, stuff like that, then you're going to be paid pretty well. A lot of the pay is going up. If you're just getting starting out, I'm not going to say that you'll, you know, make tons of money from here on out, you know, because of this, but it's like you get in now and pay is going to go up, and then you learn and you maintain a good record. Don't have accidents, don't get tickets, and be reliable, you know, show up when you're supposed to show up, you know, handle the freight like it's supposed to be handled and deal with the customers like they're supposed to be dealt with. And you're going to make a good living. So I tell everybody that, you know, truck driving's hard work, but it's not just about driving. The hard work is everything else goes along with it. Dealing with paperwork, dealing with the laws, dealing with restrictions, dealing with customers, dealing with, like you said, the lawman out there and everything, dealing with the carriers that you have to work for. You know, you know, it's kind of like you're a customer service. You're providing a service and you have customers. Well, if you're a driver, the customer is the carrier, the person you're working for, and they want you to do it a certain way. And, you know, as a driver, then that's your goal, is to serve your customer, which is the person that's paying your wage. That's what you want to do. So just always remember that and everything. I was just looking at things going on in the as far as like different news articles and all that, and again, there's not too much going on as far as like, you know, nationwide stuff. You know, you had the bridge shut down, you had the pipeline shut down, and all that. There's a few, you know, where there was $500,000 electronics stolen out of a parked semi truck in California. It says passengers expected to recover after a small plane landed on the highway, and that was in Illinois. And it says trucker faces DUI charges after crashing load of liquor. That's funny. And that looks like it might be, what, in North Carolina maybe? They put the article and then they cut off right where it's supposed to have the state. And it just says North. And it's North Dakota. There you go. Well, they need it up there. So, yep. And the truck driver was from Texas, and he's hauling alcohol it says, according to the North Dakota Highway Patrol, truck driver of Texas ran his trailer hauling alcohol into the back of another semi that had just gotten onto the interstate. The truck that was struck had stopped on the shoulder. And I tell you what, I see this all the time. I don't want to say that the other guy was at fault. The other guy clearly shouldn't have rear-ended. You know, when you rear-end somebody, it's always your fault. But you got to be careful when you're stopped on the side. You know, pulling onto the shoulder, it's not about, you know, I need to pull onto the shoulder. Is it safe? You know, it might be okay that you got to do that real quick, but getting back on the highway is even tougher. So I always tell people to think about, you know, the next step, you know, what's going to happen there. And you can anticipate a lot of stuff. And, of course, just know that whether you're doing the right thing or not, somebody else could be out there being the idiot doing the wrong thing. And of course, you got a guy here, he's drinking and driving, and he rear ends you because he's not paying attention. So there you go. And then it says passing motorists report pretty decent smell as truck hauling lemons burns on the side of the highway. So a truck caught fire and there was a load of lemons. And of course, I guess that doesn't smell good. Things like that. And then, of course, the only other thing that's different is that there is a law, and we talked about it before. They've now passed it through committee, and they're going to vote on it in the state house and state senate, where it's going to restrict the rules about whether or not you can sue a trucking company. So they're expecting it to pass. And it's just going to make it harder to have a lawsuit against a trucking company, which as a truck driver, we all like that. The article went, it says a new law expected to protect trucking companies from lawsuits, but potentially leave individual truckers exposed, has advanced through committee this week. It says the Senate Transportation Committee voted to advance House Bill 19 on Wednesday morning, May 12th in Texas. The bill would add limits to lawsuits involving commercial vehicles. and theoretically lower insurance costs. But here's the catch. Its focus is on protecting large trucking companies, not protecting truckers. I don't know who says that. I don't know. Let's see. Let's read on. Let's find out. It says supporters of the bill argue that the loose laws governing the extent of litigation against trucking companies are inspiring the massive lawsuits as the plaintiff sees an opportunity to squeeze money out of the successful trucking company. Supporters of the bill believe the lawsuits against trucking in general would decrease with the passing of the bill. It says, I am frightened and alarmed at the commercial vehicle litigation environment in Texas, said Luann Wagner, CEO of Texas Auto Carriers in San Antonio, told the committee. It says, we are in an industry that is being unfairly targeted by excessive and abusive litigation. It says, no consumer wants to litigate it. It's our last resort, said Bass Grogan, director of the Texas Public Interest Research Group. They told the KSAT 12 News. But we have to have the incentive to correct such of those commercial vehicle companies will take their own steps to protect consumers from crashes. They got a bunch of other articles. They talk about it, though. It's like motorists join concern over a bill expected to protect trucking insurance companies from liability in accidents. It says, if passed, the legislation will require trials to be split in a way similar to criminal trials in Texas. The company would have to be found negligent in a crash before the case could proceed to the second phase. Additionally, a company's safety record only be brought up in the second phase, where punitive damages would also be decided. Now, see, I understand that. What's going to happen is there has to be an investigation, like criminally. Like, is the trucking company at fault? Okay. Before, the trucking company would be sued regardless of whether they were at fault or not. And so that was always a concern, because there was a story up in West Texas where the vehicle, a pickup truck, crossed the median and hit the Werner truck. Well, they sued Werner and got like $9 million from Werner. And it's like, but Werner was just driving down the road doing nothing. You know, they weren't. And I don't know how all that got, but that was the case. It was got solved that way. And that's how it got reported. So that kind of stuff, you know, we can't be doing that. You know, you can't be suing a company just for being out there on the road. So again, it's a lot of these, you know, ambulance chasers where they go after just whatever they can do. You know, I mean, a lot of these ambulance chasers, what they would always say is that if you were walking by a JB Hunt truck and you slipped and you were about to fall, and then you used the JB Hunt trailer to catch your fall, but the trailer was wet and you slipped and you fell anyway, because you grabbed that trailer, the ambulance chaser would want to sue JB Hunt. That's how that would go. So that kind of stuff that's what's silly. And so what this would do is this would create a criminal investigation to where once the trucking company was found that, yes, the accident happened and it was their fault, well, then the plaintiff, the victim of the accident, could say, okay, now we're going to sue you. And that's kind of what this is. This is what I'm understanding it to be. It continues on. It says, this is not us against them. It's about what's fair, said John Esparza, president of the Texas Trucking Association. I would want my kids and my wife to have the same access to the court and fair trial as what we're advocating for. Committee members voted to send the amended version of the House Bill 19 to the Senate floor. The differences in legislation will need to be ironed out before final votes will be counted in both chambers. If the bill is indeed signed by the governor, it will apply to lawsuits filed after September 1st. Okay, so they didn't really specify why it wouldn't help, why it wouldn't protect the drivers and only the company. So let's find out. Let's see. There's another article here that got published on March 10th, and it says new Texas law may soon protect trucking companies but not their drivers. I think we talked about this one before. A proposed bill in Texas would protect the trucking companies from the liability of the traffic accidents, leaving the trucker solely responsible. It says the Texas trucking industry has pushed for the restructuring of a state accident liability law, citing the state's current laws as the unsuitable lawsuit environment for trucking companies. The commercial vehicle industry continues to be under attack, the trucking association says. Says we're seeing dramatic increases in large verdicts. If the bill passes, it would require the plaintiff to prove that the trucking company was grossly negligent in order to pursue the lawsuit. Otherwise, only the truck driver involved in the accident would be liable for damages. Now, see, well, this is the thing. When you say only the truck driver was liable for damages, what does that mean? Was the trucking company negligent? Now, see, in my view of the way that I'm understanding it is that once, if the truck driver was at fault, the company can't be protected because, you know, you would have to, what then's going to happen is they're going to sue the trucking company. The trucking company is going to have to prove that they didn't do anything wrong, which means that they're saying in the other article that all of the trucking company's safety records can't be presented until the second phase, which means, okay, we're looking at this one accident right here, this accident. Is the trucking company at fault? Is the driver of the truck at fault? Okay, boom, that's done. Now we're going to sue and we're going to go into all the records of the trucking company, and then we're going to look at the trucking company's functioning history. Has the trucking company skirted the rules or skirted safety in the past? And if they've done that in the past, then they're doing it now and they're done it in the future. Now you're going to get some money. So that's what I understand to be. That makes more sense. I don't understand. And it says the driver is the only person responsible. Well, if the driver's not at fault, then they're not responsible. So you can't really sue anybody unless you can prove that somebody was at fault, which means that if you caused the crash, if you're a four-wheeler and you caused the crash and you hit a big truck, you can't sue the big truck if you caused the crash. And that's what we're all agreeing with. And it seems to me that the ambulance chasers are not. They don't agree with that. So that's the way I see it. And that's the way I'm understanding it. I would like to see it clarified more. Of course, you know, what they always say, the devil's in the details. So, you know, we'll probably never understand it fully. And, of course, I argue all the time, the law is the way the laws are written. The way the law it's interpreted sometimes, it's like that doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like sometimes, you know, we always make fun of the law as being like, you know, if you had the talent of arguing a point, then you can make the law sound like it's on your side no matter what, you know. So I always thought that was weird. But again, it all boils down to, you know, I think ethics and doing what's right. And I think there's just too many people that like to take advantage of deep pockets. And there's too many people that take advantage of insurance companies. And of course, insurance rates are going through the roof. Even in the federal infrastructure bill, they're trying to get the minimum requirements raised. Right now it's at $750,000. I think the current numbers on the table is at 2 million. They've tried to get it changed up to 4 million at one point. And of course, that would just be crazy. And I don't see anybody really supporting that, except insurance companies, you know, because the lawyers, the ambulance chasers, those are the ones that support it the most, probably. In fact, it was a U.S. congressperson up in Illinois or up in Pennsylvania, and they were like a co-sponsor of the bill trying to get the insurance requirements raised up to 4 million. This was back in like 2012, 2013, something like that. This congressman out of like the Pittsburgh area, he was trying to get the minimum requirements raised to 4 million. Well, come to find out, they had submitted a complaint to like the House Ethics Committee because he was a partner at one of these big ambulance chaser law firms. And because he wasn't a sole litigator, because he was in this big firm, that they said, oh, no, he's not, it's not benefiting him individually. You know, so yeah, stuff like that. That's what ticks you off about governments and lawyers and all that stuff. you know, and all we can do is just shake our head and just deal with it, because, you know, nothing's going to change in that respect. We just got to stay educated about it and, you know, vote for the people that are going to vote about it. You know, I mean, I was reading up and just, I mean, kind of drifting off the subject, but politicians in general, they just, you would think, you know, oh, they go to a certain church, or they own a certain company, or they, you know, they vote a certain way for guns or for abortion. They must be decent people, you know, or they're not decent people or whatever. And then you come to find out they supported bills. They got swindled into supporting, you know, legalizing some form of like sale of drugs, or legalizing some misuse of like machinery or something. It's just, you know, because they get duped into it. They get and the lobbyists, or the, like you're saying, the lawyers or whoever, if you've got a talent for arguing, you can argue your point to look good no matter what, whatever point you're getting paid to do. And, you know, we can talk about that more later too, because I'm watching some more documentaries about the history of, you know, different things going on in the United States. And it was just eye-opening to me, because different things, you had good politicians that were just getting swindled. And then once they found out they got swindled, it wasn't that they were like, oh crap, I got swindled. No, they were doubling down. They were like, oh no. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. It's okay to admit that you were wrong or that you got duped. It's okay. I don't understand why it's not okay to do that, but no, they, you know, so I'll talk about stuff like that too. You know, that's kind of what I do. I got like those podcasts or those Audible books or whatever, going down the road, listening to those. It's always great. If you got some kind of deal going on like that, that's awesome. But other than that, you know, as the trucking industry, we just got to get what we got and make the best of it. And I hope everybody out there is staying safe and staying productive, especially in crazy times like this. But, you know what, that's what we do here. So I hope everybody is having a great time and listening to us and following us and, you know, watching our videos or seeing our posts, or like I said, we hope that everybody gets to see us here this time next year at the truck show. And we're hoping to get back there and doing that. But I think we're going to call it a night, and everything looks great. And we did a great job doing it, and I think we had a great time. I'd like to thank everybody that was listening along and everything. Just like I said, give us a call next time. We're here live every Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. If you want to be a part of the conversation, just hit 1. And if you you want to go check out our videos, you can do that on YouTube. You can get on our website, redneckandknives.com, and it has a link to our YouTube channel. You can all, and please subscribe to that if you haven't done already. You can view and then, of course, like, comment, share our videos. Really appreciate doing that for us. It helps us out. What it does is it helps us get more subscribers when you do like the videos or share the videos. And we're hoping that we can transition over to where we can earn like ad money from the YouTube. You know, we're hoping that get so many subscribers, we start getting that. So we're trying to get that up. So if you can go subscribe, we really appreciate that. But like I said, we're here every Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time. We appreciate everybody listening. And until next week, everybody stay safe, stay successful, and keep between the ditches. And we'll see you out there on the road.